ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So today we're reading from fifth canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, text number 29, Lord Rishabhdev's teachings. This is a prose verse, so we can only repeat this verse. In unison, we don't repeat this verse. I'll just read the verse. Does this sound all right? Everyone can hear it properly? Yeah, Dada Mukta, we hear Pachan Mak Mada Kad Bad. Avadutta Veshai Vesho Ibasha Manao Pi Janada Jananam Rihita Musha Vrata Tushnim Bahuva. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. After accepting the features of an avaduta, a great saintly person without material cares, Lord Rishabhadev passed through human society like a blind, deaf, and dumb man, an idol stone, a ghost, or a madman. Although people call him such names, he remained silent, not speak to anyone. This everyone can repeat. After accepting the features of avaduta, a great saintly person, Maharaj Rishabhadev passed through human society like a blind, deaf, and dumb man, an idol stone, a ghost, or a madman. Although people call him such names, he remained silent, not speak to anyone. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word avaduta refers to one who does not care for social convention, particularly the Vanashram Dharma. However, such a person may be situated fully within himself and be satisfied with the Supreme Personality Godhead in whom he meditates. In other words, one who has surpassed the rules and regulations of Vanashram Dharma is called avadut. Such a person has already surpassed clutches of Maya, and he lives completely separate and independent. Altogether, Om Arjanat Ramnasya Jana Jana Slakaya Saksunitam Jainatas Meshi Guru Venamaha Sri Shaitanya Manogi Stam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadan Mayam Nanti Dham Dantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Parakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarjata Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Sanjeevam Sadvaitam Sabhavutam Prijna Saitam Krishna Shaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Laita Shri Vishakamcha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapade Gopisha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Nusute Tatta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindam Ishwari Vishnabhanu Sute Devi Vimanu Hari Priye Manchakopya Turujascha Vipasindhu Evacha Panyam Pavni Vyo Vaishne Vyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now I'll read the next verse also, since this is a short purport. Vrishabhdev began to tour through cities, villages, mines, countrysides, valleys, gardens, military camps, cow pens, and homes of coward men, transient hotels, hills, forests, hermitages. Wherever he traveled, all bad elements surrounded him, just as flies surround the body of an elephant coming from a forest. He was always threatened, beaten, urinated upon, and spat upon. Sometimes people threw stones, stool, and dust at him, and sometimes people passed foul air before him. Thus, people called him many bad names and gave him a great deal of trouble. But he did not care for this, for he understood that the body is simply meant for such an end. He was situated on the spiritual platform, and being in his spiritual glory, he did not care at all for these material insults. In other words, he completely understood that matter and spirit are separate, and he had no bodily conception. Thus, without being angry at anyone, he walked through the whole world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Narottam Das Thakur says, Deya smiti nehi yara samsara bada kaha tara. When a person fully realizes the material body and world are temporary, he's not concerned with pain and pleasure of the body. As Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj advises, as Sri Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Machas Vasas Tukuntaya Sito Sana Sukadukada Agamai Pan Nichas Tamta Chichava Bharata. O Son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They rise from sense perception of Skyanabharata. One must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. As far as Vrishabhdev is concerned, it has already been explained. Idam sariram mama durvai duvi vivahavyam. He did not at all possess a mature body, therefore he was tolerant of all troubles offered to him by the bad elements in society. Consequently, he could tolerate people throwing stool and dust upon him and beating him. His body was transcendental, and consequently, he did not at all suffer pain. He was always situated in his spiritual bliss. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 18.61, Ishvara sarabhutanam rideshu arjuna tisthati pramyam sarabhutanam yantarudani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, as directing the wanderings of all living entities who are situated on a machine made of material energy. Since the Lord is situated in everyone's heart, he is in the heart of the hogs, dogs also. As hogs and dogs in their material bodies live in filthy places, one should not think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his Paramatma feature, also lives in a filthy place. Although Lord Vrishabhdev was maltreated by bad elements of the world, he was not at all affected. Therefore, stated here, Swa Mahima Avasti Avasa Nena. He was situated in his own glories. He was never saddened due to being insulted in many ways described above. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shri Mata Bhakta Vedanta Swami Yukti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Namaste Shunyavari Paskachalde Sitarni. Says, by the grace of the spiritual master, a dumb man can speak elegant words, a lame man can cross mountains, and a dog can swim across the ocean. So these two verses are describing Vajrasattva renouncing his kingdom. Vairagya Vijaya Nija Yoga. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we came to teach this renunciation, knowledge and renunciation, but not dry renunciation. This is the Maharaja Shabda. He became an avadut. One time I went to a program, some yoga society, and they boldly announced that the avadut was coming. So Maharaja Shabdev, although he is a avadut, to renounce the world, but to avoid bad elements, which is described later chapter, he lay down in one place like a python man. And when he passed through on urine, he rolled in it to avoid a bad element, so no one would come near him. But his stool and urine smelled like roses. It says up to 80 miles, which is like 10, it says 10 yojans, or 80 miles, which is like here to Jaipur. So this is a real avadut. If someone is claiming the avadut, then it should see whether his, when he evacuates, whether it smells like roses or not. And we can tell for sure. Otherwise, no one should falsely claim to be such a person. So renunciation is one of the elements. Bhagavan, Krishna is called Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, Bhagavan. He's full on six opulences: knowledge, strength, beauty, wisdom, knowledge, strength, beauty, fame, renunciation. What? Wealth. So Krishna, when he came 5,000 years ago, he also exhibited this quality of renunciation. Jarasandha was a demon opposed to Krishna. He attacked Mathura not only one time, but 17 times. And each time Krishna defeated him and sent him away. And each time the advisors, Jarasandha's advisors, told him it was just bad luck. So the 18th time Jarasandha attacked, and Kalyabana, another demon, decided he would attack Mathura at the same time. So there's two opposing elements coming at this in different directions. So Krishna decided that it better to avoid fighting altogether. So he just walked off the battlefield. So this is a sign of renunciation. This is called rancher. He's called a rancher. Because this is the one of the opulences of the Lord. Because Jarasandha later accused Krishna of being a coward because he walked off the battlefield, but that's not the case. We know, in the case of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he renounced his family life. He took sannyasa at the age of 24. Now, someone takes sannyas, that is considered material suicide. It no longer has anything to do with material life. And mainly to develop our gopi bhava, love for Krishna, body, mind, and words, full dedication. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was not pleased at this. He said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Why have you taken sannyas at such an early age? You're only 24 years old." He had a very affectionate mother, beautiful, chaste and faithful wife. He said, people take sannyas when 3/4 of their life are finished. He mentioned the case Prakasananda Saraswati and Madhavendra Puri. They were not young men, they were old men when they took sannyas. 3/4 of life means when one is 60, 70 years old, then one should take sannyas. But Mahaprabhu replied that I was too much burdened by separation from Krishna, and it was too much painful for me to remain in my household life. I couldn't execute household duties, so I had to take sannyas. Then they had some discussion, and Mahaprabhu showed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya his sadbhuj form, his six-arm form. Then he said to Sarvabhauma, "What do you think now? Do you think I'm ready to take sannyas?" Anyway, the same is here, same case is here. Lord Rishabhdev is the Vishnu Tapa, incarnation of the Lord. He had 100 sons who were all fully qualified, fully educated. In the beginning of this chapter, he educated his sons, and he told them he told them very important sloka that we should all remember. Ayam deho deya bhajan mi loke kas tam karman arhate vidbhujaje tato devyam putra yena sattam saje yasmad prama shukyam tu anantam. My dear boys, all the living entities who have accepted material bodies in this world, one who has been awarded this human form should not work hard and day and night simply for sense gratification, which is available even for the hogs and dogs that eat stool. Once engaged in penance and austerities to attain the divine position of devotional service, by such activities one's heart is purified. When one attains this position, he attains eternal blissful life, which is transcendental to material happiness and which continues forever. So Maharaj Rishabhdev, he had 100 sons. 81 of them became Brahmins, Vaishnava Brahmins. 10 of them became Vaishnava kings, and 9 of them became Paramahansas, the 9 Yogendras, which speak to Maharaj Nimi in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Although they were originally Brahma bodies, Brahman realized souls, when they heard Srimad Bhagavatam at one point, they became Vaishnavs, and they became conversant on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we know that Srimad Bhagavatam is the, of all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It's the best of all the Puranas. So here, in the previous verse, it says, Maharaj Rishabhdev, he gave the kingdom over to his son, Bart, to rule the whole world. And then, while still at home, Varshavadev lived like a madman, naked with disheveled hair. Then the Lord took the sacrificial fire within himself and left to tour the whole world. So this is the what one should do. Prabhupada often quoted that the politicians and people in this world, they don't want to give up their position till the very end of life. He said Nehru didn't want to give up being prime minister, even he was in a wheelchair. He was under the illusion that the country could not go on without him. They had to stay in that position. And that's the way people think. But then, but Srila Prabhupada himself also was in a household, was a grihastha. He had four children. His wife was there. And although his wife was initiated in the Gaudiya Math, she liked to drink tea. But I don't know if that was prohibited in those days, but for us it's prohibited. No coffee, tea, or cigarettes. Intoxicant. So one day, Srila Prabhupada's wife didn't have any money in the house, so then she wanted to buy some tea biscuits. So she went to the market with Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, and she traded it for tea biscuits. So she didn't think that Prabhupada's Bhagavatam had much value. So much tea biscuits couldn't be worth very much. So Prabhupada came home, he was looking for his Bhagavatam, he couldn't find his Bhagavatam. He said, "Where's my Bhagavatam?" He told him what she had done. So he said to his wife, "You can make a choice, I'll give you a choice, tea or me." So she didn't take him very serious. Sri Sri Gaurani Jai Krishna Bhavaram Radha Shama Sundar Lidhi Vishaka Prabhupada Bhakti Santa Ki Jai. She didn't take him very serious. He thought he was just joking. But Prabhupada wasn't joking, and she did give up drinking so Prabhupada left home, took the Vanaprastha ashram, eventually taking to sannyas, renouncing all family affairs. Because he had his sons and daughters and family members to take care of his wife, and everything was taken care of, so he didn't have to, wasn't like he left them penniless or helpless. But the idea is that Prabhupada says at the age of 50, one should be ready to renounce family life. What does Prahlada Maharaj say? Family life is ananda kupama, like a deep dark well. If someone falls in a well in the middle of the forest, which is covered by grass, and there's very little chance that he can get out of the well. He'll be saved. The family life is very troublesome, and also Prabhupada said that for one who's in family life, advancement is very slow or next to nil. So it's an ashram, grihastha ashram, and it's not forbidden, but most devotees take up the grihastha, get married, take up grihastha ashram at one point or another. But should not stay in the house ashram for their whole life. They should renounce it at a certain point and be ready to travel and preach and spread Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj Vrishabhdev was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was the had a body of Vishnu Tapa. His body was not made of material elements, although it appeared so by the influence of Yoga Maya. He could walk through the human society unrecognized. Avijanti Mamudha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the fools and fools, they cannot understand me or recognize me. Even when Krishna was on the planet 5,000 years ago, not very many people understood that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna reserves the right to reveal himself to someone. Even when Krishna left Vrindavan, Krishna is the felt that the gopis' attachment for him or love for him was getting slackened. So he decided to go to Vrindavan, to go to Mathura, where he came, Prichana Sadhanam Vinishayacha Duskritam, to relieve the burden of the world. So he had to go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. So he left Vrindavan after he was formed his, he was 10 months and 10 years and 9 months old, or actually, but he's 1.5 years, 1.5 times older than his actual age. So he performed his Kishore Leelas, his Rasa Leela with the gopis in Vrindavan. He left Vrindavan, and left the gopis were feeling immense separation from Krishna. But Krishna left Vrindavan to increase their attachment for him, and also to perform these other activities. But he did come back. He said he would come back. But after he killed Dandavakra, then he also returned to Vrindavan. But Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. Vrindavan dam prachaja mamikam padam ekam nagachati. Krishna never takes one step out of Vrindavan. His Vasudeva expansion, he went to Mathura, and also Balaram never leaves Vrindavan. He went in his Shankarshan expansion. So these are examples of renunciation, people renouncing the world in different ways. Like Rishabhdev, he renounced the world, took up the role of an avaduta. And this is also the case with the, and later we'll hear about Bhart Maharaj, who became Jadbharat. He also was in a similar condition, acting like a dull, dumb man, and no one could recognize that he was a Paramahansa, spiritually advanced. Bhart Maharaj became Jadbharat. In his early age, his father tried to train him. He would tell me before answering the call, after answering the call in nature, you should wash your hands. But he'd wash his hands first. Whatever his father told him to do, he couldn't follow. And finally, he left home. His father left home, went to the forest. Then they needed someone to carry the palanquin for Maharaj Rahugana. Maharaj Rahugana was a saintly king. He wasn't an ordinary king. He was on pilgrimage. He was going to the hermitage of Kapila Muni. So they hired Jadbharat to carry the palanquin for Maharaj Maharaja Hugana, but he couldn't carry it properly because there were ants on the road. He didn't want to step on the ants. So the king kept chastising him. And then Jadbharat started to explain Vaishnava philosophy. Then King Ruhugana realized that this was not an ordinary person. And he said that he was not afraid of the thunderbolt of Indra or the trident of Lord Shiva. But the one thing that he feared the most was committing Vaishnava aparad. So he got down from the chariot, his palanquin, and he begged forgiveness from Jadbharat. He took instruction from Jadbharat. So this is the, although he couldn't be recognized by ordinary people, some dacoits, they needed to worship, they needed to sacrifice a dull, dumb man to the goddess Kali or goddess Durga. So they took Jadbharat, and since he was acting like an avadut, like Mars Rishabdev, he didn't protest. So they were ready to sacrifice him to the goddess Kali, and the goddess Kali could understand that this was not an ordinary man, this is a great Vaishnava, and she couldn't tolerate this. So she came out of the deity, they had a deity of Kali, and she, with the same sword, they were going to kill Jadbharat, she killed all the dacoits. So we also, we hear about the Python Man in the 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, Prahlad Maharaj, he meets the Python Man. And he was just staying in one place. So, this is the same thing, an avadut or a Python Man, they don't ask anything from anyone. Fully depend on Krishna. Whatever Krishna sends, they accept. Then Ishvara Puri also, he never begged anyone for prasadam. Whatever came, he ate. If nothing came, he would fast. Completely dependent on the mercy of Krishna. The Rishabhdev, he was also understood that he was not this body, so that no matter what happened to him, he was not disturbed. Says Deino Smin Yatadehe Komaramyo Vinam Jara Tatadehantrapati Dirasata Namuyate. In boyhood, youth, old age, one is a changing body and one must be Diras, steady, undisturbed. Because the body, it says here, the body is subject to pain. It says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasatma Buddhi Kupa Tri Dutuke Swadi Kaladrishu Boma Ijadi Yatyatrata Buddhi Salina Kachit Igneshu Abneshu Saeva Gokura. One who identifies himself as the inert body composed of mucus, bile, and air, who assumes his wife and family are permanently his own, who thinks an earthen image or the land of its birth is worshipable, or receives a place of pilgrimage as merely the water there, but who never identifies himself, feels kinship with, worships, or even visits those who are wise in spiritual truth, such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. So this is the opposite of what is being described here. The people in the material world, everyone's under this false conception. This is my I and mine. Everyone's misidentifying. The whole world is going on under name, false names and false forms. But we are Humbermas, we are spirit soul. We're not this material body. Therefore, the devotee, he accepts it as Krishna's mercy. Whatever suffering is coming, we take it as Krishna's mercy due to our past misdeeds. Either in this life or in previous life, we have performed misdeeds, therefore we have to suffer some punishment. But for devotees, the punishment is less. It's a token punishment. We get some token punishment. If we cut our finger, we should think that this is just token punishment. It should have been my whole arm, or it was just my finger. So Lord Vrishabhadev, although he traveled all over the world, his spiritual effulgence was covered. He was, even though he was dirty, he was naked, he was looking like a madman, even then the women were attracted to his beauty, described in the future verses. So it's all by the arrangement of Yogamaya. He acted in this way. Eventually he left the world in the forest fire. So the whole point here, he was above the Vana Ashram system. When Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy, he asked him what was the ultimate goal, how to attain the ultimate goal of life. And Ramananda Roy replied that by practicing the Vana Ashram system, the Lord Chaitanya said, no, this is external. Speak more, say something else. Because there's no, the Vana Ashram system is due to the, based on the three modes of material nature, guna and karma, tattarvidham. Based on the three modes of material, it's the material arrangement. It's not there in the spiritual world. There's no Vana Ashram Dharma in the spiritual world. It's a way to organize society systematically so society can run peacefully. But also it must be accompanied by devotional service. Otherwise, Shava Evahi Kevalam. If someone may perform his duties very nicely in the Vana Ashram system, but if he doesn't develop his, invoke his love for Krishna, then it is a useless waste of time. The Vana Ashram is there. Prabhupada said that half his work was not finished because he didn't implement his Vana Ashram system, but his Daivi Vana Ashram system is not only people should follow the four Vanas and Ashrams, but they should develop their love for Krishna at the same time and perform devotional service. That is the perfection of life. Vishnu. We should not waste this human form of life like the hogs and dogs. Only when one comes to human form of life does one get the opportunity to practice self-realization, to become God-conscious, develop our love for Krishna. And Krishna says that abode of his, that supreme abode of mine, is not illuminated by the sun or moon or fire nor electricity. When one goes there, one never comes back. That should be the goal of our life, to go back home, back to Godhead, not have to take birth again in this material world, and we suffer repeated birth and death. So everyone should keep this in mind, that the end of life, which we renounce the world, not continue, and that we're enjoying spirit, especially in Vrindavan, should not commit offenses in Vrindavan. Any service done in Vrindavan, you get 100 times the benefit, but offenses committed in Vrindavan, you get 100 times the reaction. So if someone is lusty and desiring sense gratification, he should not come live in Vrindavan. She's not staying in Vrindavan. Prabhupada said they should only stay here for 3 days, materialistic people. And they should not, because they will commit offenses, grievously commit offenses. One should not grievously commit offenses in Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is meant for renunciation. Prabhupada said this temple was here for people, for life members, to come at the end of their life and live a life of renunciation and do bhajan. One should come to Vrindavan for doing bhajan, for chanting Hare Krishna and studying the scriptures and becoming Krishna conscious, not for any other reason. Although materialistic people are making Vrindavan exactly the opposite, making it into a commercial enterprise with all these high-rise buildings and advertising modern spiritual life. This is completely against the real nature of Vrindavan. So Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different. Mayapur is the mercy dham, and Vrindavan dham is the sweetness dham. So this is the aspiration. We should all try to renounce, just give up our material attachments, become free from all material desires, and only desire to serve that dark and fair complected young couple, Shishi Radha, Shama Sundar, Shishi Radha and Krishna. So I have to stop here. If there's any, I can answer one or two questions. Any quick questions, we can answer.